I am not ashamed. Say that with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is, come on, say, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Say, that includes me. Now, we've looked at this verse, and we've been on this series longer than we typically do a series. But every time I kind of redirect, the Lord still puts something in my heart to share. And so in this, and I know some of you like, are we ever going to get past this verse? This verse is going to be so into your heart that anytime the devil bumps that area of your life, it's going to come out of you, because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. And you'll say, no, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To who? Everyone. No one excluded. No one excluded. No one is excluded. If they're willing to believe. Believe is the key that unlocks God's power. Not being ashamed. Yeah, we've looked at that from different areas, but today I want to talk about this again. The problem for some of us is not that we're ashamed of God or not ashamed of the gospel, but we're embarrassed about what God has for us. We don't believe that God has it for us. Our shame, and where do we get that from? Let me throw this at you. Sin will bring shame into your life. Now, let me say it this way. Have you ever sinned and then even repented? 1 John 1, the Bible says that if you sin, repent, and he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all righteousness. Come on, you guys, you know, you got real quiet when I said, have you ever sinned, right? So come on. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. So we all start at the same point. Because good people don't go to heaven, forgiven people go to heaven. Can I get a better amen than that? I'm making. And you go to, and you've repented, and you go to pray for something or believe for something, but the devil makes you feel that you're not deserving or worthy of the something. That's what we need to deal with today. Because Romans tells us that there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Romans 8. And so we find out, David said it this way, you have prepared a table for me in the midst of my enemies. One translation says, you have put a spread of provision for me. And we've talked about this before, but just so we're all on the same page. So conceptually, visually, see it this way. God has already, not going to, already made provision. See, that's where Jehovah Jireh comes from, the name of the God was trying in the Old Testament, trying to reveal his nature so people would know him. Because at the beginning, they were so concerned, and God was so sacred that they wouldn't even write his name in the writings. They just leave a space blank referring to, that's God, but we don't want to even say his name. And God said, no, I appreciate that, but I want you to get a little closer to me. I want you to come and know me. I'm not just God the Creator, I'm your Father. He was moving them toward the direction, and we see in the New Testament it being clarified that now, because of the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, we're compelled to cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. There's a connection, a relationship here. And God wanted them to understand in the Old Testament who he was, so he would do different things and say, okay, now you see me from this perspective. I'm your healer. I'm your peace. I'm your warrior and protection. Jehovah Jireh means more than the Lord who provides. Jehovah Jireh means the God who saw your need before you knew there was a need. Yeah. And backed up in time. Yeah. And made provision. Yeah. By the cross. Yeah. What Jesus did on the cross not only dealt with the issues of your sins, dealt with the issues of the curse. And under the curse, which is a cause by rebellion of God, under the curse now we are brought back into the vine. We are grafted back in because by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we're saved because of the cross. Not only deals with sin, it deals with the curse. It deals with everything you'll ever need, purchased on the cross of Calvary. So because of that, he's made provision. Say, it's already done. I want to get this in your mind. If you're praying and believing for something, it doesn't mean you're a bad person because you don't have it yet. We're all growing. Right. We're all, say, I'm growing. Life is about seasons and progression. Right. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. It's progression. It's progression. Say, it's progress. You can say levels, you can say seasons, you can say anything you want. Isaiah 55:10. Challenge everything I say with the word of God, by the way. Isaiah 55:10, as the rain and snow come from heaven and don't return, but waters the earth and makes it produce, bud and produce, so they can give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, right? Amen. So, verse 11, so shall my word be. See the connection?
Yeah.
That goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return void, but accomplish to what I please. And fulfill the assignment. So what is it doing? Just like the rain and snow water the earth, so God's word, Matthew 13, is a seed that waters your heart. But we also see in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verse 28, that Jesus said that the way the earth produces is first the blade, then the bud, and then the corn. First the blade. Right? If you see a stalk of corn come up, the cob doesn't come out of the ground, does it?
Nope.
Wouldn't that be wild if it did? If it does, get it on YouTube. We can make some money. What is it? It grows up and begins the blade, then we get to the corn. Anybody with me this morning? There you guys. I'm lobbing you the ball. I'm giving the answer before the question, and I'm just tossing it to you. You guys need to watch more TV. See, the problem is you're not watching, or go plant a garden or something. And that's what, see, if we don't understand the process, what do? We plant a seed, and we come out the next day to eat. And we get mad at God because we're not eating after we planted a seed. And we say, this don't work because I planted my seed. Why am I not eating? But it don't work that way because it's a process. I was nice to my neighbor. They're still not nice to me. What's the problem? This don't work. Say it's a process. And when the Bible tells us when we are faithful at one level, faithful in the least, then we'll be faithful in the much. There's levels. Say there's levels. Say there's levels. And so God's walking us through this process of levels. And if you haven't totally received something, that's okay. We're all growing. Say I'm growing. That's good. That's good. So the provision's already there.
Yes.
The table has already been set.
Right.
Everything you need is already there.
Yes.
So you're like, God, I need a financial miracle. God's not creating a financial miracle.
Already.
It's already there.
Right.
Lord, I need a healing. We look at it like we're going to receive it in the future, but God says, you understand, it's already been provided in the past.
Amen.
So instead of saying, God, will you give me? Say, God, help me to access. Because you and I are branches connected to the vine. And everything in the vine goes to the branch. It's available.
Right.
It's available.
Yeah.
It's available.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting it because we're growing. There's some things we have to do. It's like having a rubber band on your arm. The blood flows plenty. But if there's something restricting it, we have to deal with that. And we grow through the process so we can allow what God has already for us. That's why Mark 11, 23, 24 says, when you pray, believe that you have received them. How do you believe you've already received them? You understand that by covenant, it already belongs to you. So you're not trying to get healed. You are already the healed of the Lord. And you're dealing and bringing the order of God, the will of God, into your world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You bring the authority of God into your world. When Jesus cast out the demon, they said, how do you do it? He goes, listen, it's the finger of God, the authority of God.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God, most people think of the kingdom of God as heaven. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is in you. That's the order of God. And so when we bring in the order of God, we have what God has already prepared for us. So the tables are already there. But God's waiting for us to pull up a chair and begin to enjoy. Look to your neighbor and say, pull up a chair. Come on, say, pull up a chair and enjoy. This is the best buffet in town. And I'm telling you, there's room at the table. Say, there's room at the table for me. I know, the devil will try to bring shame in your life. He'll try to embarrass you and tell you you don't deserve it. You can't have it. Remember who you used to be. But the Bible says when you're saved, behold, you are a new creation.
Right.
All things are brand new.
Amen.
So that's not me. That's somebody else. That person, he's been buried. Didn't the Bible say it's no longer I that lives, but Christ? Some of you are warming up this morning. But Christ lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by
faith.
I live by faith. Fill that verse up again. To everyone who believes. To everyone that believes. So is there an exclusion in there? No, the only exclusion is that if you don't believe. If you don't believe. Now, listen to me. Years ago, historically in the early church, there was a group. And they used to believe, and sometimes it's still taught today, that only the elite can believe. Oh, that God has just the elite. And those who have revelation and truth, that's because they're the special ones. But James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you.
Right.
Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder.
Yeah.
And so what we find out is that it's open to everyone.
Right.
It's open to everyone.
Right.
Not just the full-time ministry or ministers. Just not to the special people. Because in the kingdom, we're all special. Did you hear me? Oh, I feel the direction for that. I said, in the kingdom of God, look, you want me to show you how important you are? Yeah, we're going on some rabbit trails, but we're having fun. Are we doing okay? You want me to tell you how important you are? Jesus said about John the Baptist. And they asked him, Jesus said, of all the prophets in the past, John the Baptist is the greatest of all of them. Well, that's a lot of prophets. Elijah, Samuel. You go down a whole list, right? Of all the prophets, he's the greatest, born of women. That means everybody.
Right.
And then Jesus goes to say, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him.
Yeah.
Oh. So if you just got saved and you lived a horrible life and you're 112 and you just got saved last night, right now, because of the blood of Jesus, you're greater than that of everybody in the old covenant. Okay, so let's get back on track. So the key is not being the elite. The key is being the believer.
Amen.
To everyone who believes. And just like there's progression in life, progression in your walk with God, I mean, one thing you can, it might be, the next level might be a little nervous. I don't know if I can do that before you know it. Oh, that's no big deal.
Yeah.
And God stretches it to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's in your giving. That's in your serving.
Right.
That's in your witnessing.
Yeah.
I mean, at one level, you might have felt like all I can do is you just take off that wristband and leave it on the table at a restaurant hoping someone finds it. And you're nervous about that. God said, okay, now I want you to tag that person. You're like, oh, Lord. Okay, here you go. Eventually, that's no big deal. You're tagging everybody the Lord places on your heart. And the Lord said, now I want you to invite them to church when you tag them. Have you noticed he's stretching us? Then you start doing that. Next thing you know, he'll say, not only invite them to church, start talking to them about me. What is he doing? It's growing.
Yep.
Your giving's going to grow. Your sharing's going to grow. Your serving grows. Your knowledge grows. You're growing. See, I'm growing. You listening? Your believing grows.
Right.
Your believing grows. There's levels of believing. There's levels of faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. But do you know Romans 12 says for us to operate at our level of faith.
Right.
You don't operate at somebody else's level of faith. That's where in the church world, in the faith camp, is that we could get confused because we try to operate at someone else's level of faith. Oh, they did it. And if God's not a respecter of persons, so if they did it, then I can do it. Well, if God didn't tell you to do it at your level, don't do it.
Right.
Well, Pastor, I mean, God's not a respecter of persons. He'll do it. If he did it for them, he'll do it for me. Well, then go out and get a boat and go to the lake and find a big area where there's nobody else around. Turn off the boat and step out. Because Jesus told Peter to step out.
Right.
and Peter walked on water. But if you step out without Jesus telling you to step out, you better know how to swim or have a life preserver or someone can save you, because you're going to see Jesus before you're supposed to. Am I telling the truth? You operate at your level of faith. That's why we challenge you to challenge everything with the Word of God, and for you to be obedient in your tithes and offerings at your level of faith.
Right.
If it seems like, oh, I think they're just trying to manipulate me, then you need to spend more time in the Word on that area. Don't do it because I told you to do it. Because if you do it because I told you to do it, then you look to me to be your provider. But Revelation, Jesus said that my reward is in my hands. Your reward's not in pastor's hands. Your reward's in Jesus' hands. What do? Get the word on it. Get the seed on it. And when it becomes a rhema, then you can be a cheerful giver. Because God just doesn't want, everything you give is not accepted by God. Man, we got to get this taught, because some preachers and pastors, we don't tell that, because we'll take whatever shows up. But we don't give to people. We don't give to buildings. We give to Jesus. And everything offered to Jesus does not mean it's accepted by Jesus. Don't believe me? Ask Cain and Abel. If you're not a willing giver, if you're not an obedient giver, then all you're doing is out of your flesh and not out of faith. And you need to obey by faith. Is this making anybody nervous or freeing? Hopefully this helps you relax a little. Because we're not putting your name on the wall one way or the other. We're not going to bash you or promote you one way or the other. We're not taking up three offerings to try to meet a budget. No, we do it God's way. We want you to do it God's way. I want you blessed. But even in your finances, I want you blessed in your health. I want you blessed in the peace of mind. I want you blessed in your marriage. I want you blessed in every area of your life. And we can overwhelm ourselves obeying what other people have heard instead of obeying what God shows us. So how do we keep this walk going? Because it's a walk of faith. Walk in the Spirit. This progression. How do I find my next step? Because there's levels of believing. And my level of believing determines the level of God's power. And you need God's power. Say, I need God's power. That's why I said in the Old Testament, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. What was he saying? Not by physical might or physical power, but there's a God factor in your life that you need. Now, it might not always make sense to everybody, because in Corinthians tells us that the spiritual things don't make sense to the natural carnal mind of reasoning, because you're like, I don't understand that. That put it on the back burner. God, if this is you reveal it to me. I'm not going to stress out about it, because get the word. Challenge everything with the word, because the goal is to get you to pull a seat up to the table and enjoy all that belongs to you. All that belongs to you. And there's a level of your obedience. James says, faith without works is dead. There's something you need to do, but you got to understand, we are co-laborers, partners with God in this life. And he wants to bring his power into your situation. So the greater the believing, the greater the power. Yeah. So that verse up again. The greater the believing, the greater the power. Jesus looked at the disciples and to people, and he would say, your faith is great. Centurion soldier, great faith. Haven't seen faith. No, not even in Israel. He'd look at the disciples sometimes and says, you are unbelievers on this one. You got the last one right, but this one, just because you have faith in one area doesn't mean you have faith on every area.
Right.
Faith is specific. There's a faith for healing. There's a faith for finances. There's a faith for marriage. There's a faith for parenting. There's a faith for every area of your life.
Right.
Why? Just like there's a seed for every fruit or vegetable. You don't take an apple seed for all fruit. No, you got apple seed gives you what? Orange seeds give you what? You guys are so smart. All right, let me show you a verse. We're going to go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. And in the text of this, before you start reading it, and we've referred to this before, the disciples are sent out to minister. And a man comes to Jesus, a father who has a son, who's a child who is demon-possessed. And he comes to Jesus and said, will you please help me? Show mercy. Luke's gospel also has this account. And when you put them together, you get a real clear picture. And Jesus said to him, all things are possible to him who believes. But he was frustrated because he said, I took them to your disciples and they couldn't help. Bring them to me. And Jesus cast out the spirit. And the devil freaked out a little bit, left. He picked up the child because they thought he was dead. And the disciples later said in private, why couldn't we do that? Why can't I do that? Have you ever looked at a situation and say, why am I not able to do that? Why can't I do that? God, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm working for the right thing. I'm believing for the right thing. I'm trying, but I'm not getting the results like I see other people. Why can't I do that? I'm doing a good thing. They were doing a good thing. They were full-time ministry trying to help somebody. Why didn't we have the power to do that? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Remember, believing is from the heart, Romans tells us. Romans said, not from the head. It comes out of a revelation of the truth of the seed of God's word planted in your heart. It takes effort. You don't believe because you want to. You don't believe because you need to. You don't believe because you have to. You believe because you put the effort into getting the word in your heart and your life. Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. What is he saying? He's saying your believing connects you to divinity. At one place, Jesus was talking and talked about it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's like a camel trying to get through the eye of a needle. And the disciples said, who can be saved then? And he said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. What was he saying? The connection here, believing connects you to God's power, not your power. Now, don't walk away from that context of that verse and say, Jesus doesn't want people financially blessed, because that's not what's being said there. Did you hear me? Because Timothy was told, to those who are rich in this world, wealthy, he didn't say give up your money. He said tell them not to trust in that money, but to trust in God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. And be rich in good deeds. Can I get an amen? Because what you sow, you shall reap. Well, what about the rich young ruler? It was because he trusted in his riches. And under the old covenant, in Proverbs, it says, if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and he will repay. So what was he saying? Do you trust me enough to let go of what is number one in your life to let me be number one? And he was saying, No, I don't. Did you hear me? God wants you blessed. Don't get caught up in reality TV to define your blessing. God wants you blessed. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Because if you're not blessed, you can't be a blessing. That was the covenant of Abraham.
Right.
And Galatians 3 tells us we're connected by through Christ to that covenant. Say,
I'm blessed.
To be a blessing. All right, let's get back on track because I don't want anybody to be sidetracked with that. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. But if you do believe, nothing's impossible.
Right.
If you do believe, you have access to God's power. You need God's power in that situation. You need God's power in that situation. You need God's power in any and all areas of your life. And there's times in your life, in your walk with God, that you'll hit a wall and you say, God, what's the problem? I'm doing the right thing, but I'm short a little bit on the power.
All right.
I'm trying to believe. Believe is not trying. Believing's having.
Yeah.
It's like trying to be pregnant. You either are or you're not. Can I get an amen? I'm trying to believe. No, do you believe? We get the word. Do you believe? And when I begin to believe, I connect to the power. But Jesus goes on and gives us a little more understanding. And the next verse is, howbeit this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. What were they short of? Prayer and fasting. Prayer. Now, you see how quiet God? Because you know what we want to do? We just want to pray a simple prayer and let the truck of heaven back up on the driveway of life. Beep, 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 beep. And we'll tag the name of Jesus and thank you in advance and hallelujah. Bring it to me, Jesus. But Jesus said, it's already there. I need you to pull up a chair and begin to enjoy what's already provided. How do I do it? By believing. But I'm trying to believe. Well, you need to go to the next level of your believing to access the next level of your provision.
Yeah.
How do I do that? I'm reading the word, but are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time in fasting? Now, let me sidetrack this because it's getting quiet, so I don't want you to feel nervous. Because everything we do, we really need the Holy Spirit to help us. We can't even love God without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Philippians 4 that God gives us the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. So your frustration that we all feel is the times we failed, and we failed because we are trying to do it in our own self-will.
Right.
Listen to me, folks. In the church world, we have almost, not everybody, somebody. Nobody here. In the church world, some people have made praying and fasting more sacred than God. And they literally worship their worship, worship their prayer, worship their fasting. What am I saying? Though these things are tools.
Yeah.
To be used in obeying God. They help you obey God. They're tools. But you know what a lot of them, I pray 6 hours a day. And they are more prideful of what they have done.
Yep.
And Jesus said, at one time, that there was two men in the temple. One was crying out and saying, "Have mercy on me, God, for I've sinned." And the other one was saying, "I'm glad I'm not like him because I fast twice a week and give a tithe of all things." And Jesus said, the one who's crying for mercy is going to receive mercy and be accepted. Why? Because he's asking for mercy in a situation. The other one is prideful for what he does. Not realizing that we don't worship the tool.
Right.
We worship the King.
Amen.
You hear me? There's a balance to this. And I've been there where I got to pray an hour every day. And man, 60 minutes, it's done, it's over. And I felt so good about praying. Woo, I'm so spiritual because I prayed 60 minutes today. And the Lord placed on my heart, "Why don't you go spend some time with me? Let's pray." "Oh no, sorry, I already did that today. I'll see you next week." Because literally in my mind, I know you would never do this, but in my mind, I had created a mindset that once I did it, I'm done with God. I put him on the shelf. I'll see you next tomorrow when I pray again. And I got it covered. And God became an object or to do, a checklist. And that's not the way it should be. That's not the way it should be. But there is power in our prayer. Jude verse 20 says, "Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit." There's power in prayer. And there's power in fasting. We see that when Jesus came out of his 40 days in the wilderness, tempted the enemy in fasting, that it says that when he came out, when he left in the power of the Spirit. Now, you don't have to fast for 40 days or 21 days or Daniel's fast. You can fast for one day. The Jewish community fasts from midnight to 6 as a day and eat in the evening. But there's power in this idea of fasting. It's been lost, and obviously so, because when you start feeling hungry, you know, it's one of those things where you decide, "I'm going to fast today." Someone brings you donuts. Don't tell me. And when you start thinking you're so super spiritual and you got it down, just fast for a day. It's amazing how the flesh has a voice. What does the flesh sound like? You fast for a day, you'll know. Because you'll go from, "I'm going to fast and I'm going to go to the next level with God." And all of a sudden you go into the, "Why are you doing this? This is the dumbest thing. You can't do this another day." But I'm telling you, the power of God is connected to every area, even in your finances. Struggling to get to the next level financially, the Bible says in the Old Testament that you'll remember it is me that's given you power to get wealth. Why are we missing power? Sometimes it's because we haven't paid the price, sown the seed.
Right.
You don't wish for a garden. You plant a garden. We wait for God just for a supernatural moment, and God's just going to hit us with it. And God said, "No, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added." Plant the seed. Water the seed. Plant the seed. Water the seed. Spend time in prayer. It's all about his presence. And it's all about quieting our flesh. I'm looking to hear God. "Lord, show me what to do." You want to know how, you want to make yourself more sensitive to the voice of God? Spend a little time fasting. Because it works totally against the flesh. It works totally against the flesh. In fact, a quick story. and we're closing because we're running out of time. A few weeks ago, I was watching TV with my daughter, and there was an owl outside our house. And the owl said, we start hearing this owl. She heard it. And she said, did you hear that owl? And I'm like, no, I didn't hear no owl. And I'm trying to listen for the owl. And I'm straining to hear the owl. And then it dawned on me, turn the TV down. I can't turn the owl's voice up. But I can turn the sounds around me down. You can't make the Holy Spirit scream at you. In fact, Elijah found out it was a still small voice, but you can quiet the noise around you so that you can hear clearly. I'm telling you, don't do it because I said to do it. Walk away from this saying, Lord, if this thing's real, show me. And start looking in the Bible about it. Start at your level. Now, if you're pregnant, you shouldn't fast. And if you're under doctor's care, you can ask your doctor, but most of them should say it's okay. And you can do a liquid fast. Just drink water. If you want to drink some coffee, then you can do that. But, you know, I mean, the reality is, spend some time telling your flesh, I want something greater than just to feed you. I want the power of God because I want the next season. I want the next season. I want the next season. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.